I'm James Beatty.
And I'm Sean Carroll.
And welcome to the Rebuild Health and Fitness Podcast.
Where do you want to start it?
We'll just say
welcome.
Okay, and welcome to episode 33 of the Rebuild Health and Fitness Podcast. And today we are going to be talking about how your mindset is affecting your health and nutrition. And hopefully along the way, we can redefine your perception of health. Sounds exciting. Sean, how are you?
I'm very, very good, sir. Good to be back for another lovely podcast with... It's a full house in here today in the... In what, the podcasting room?
In the podcast studio.
In the studio.
It's not a studio.
Got Darius over there tindering away and Kate taking photos. Grinder, sorry.
All right. So, firstly, I think obviously you've been listening to this podcast a while. You will understand sort of Rebuild's values. It's something that we do talk about a lot. But, you know, I think one of our goals here is that we want Rebuild to be a place where it makes sense. So, where people become unstuck, where things are simplified, and where your perception of health is changed and your ability to see yourself in new light is created. And that's, you know, when I read that, I'm kind of proud of what it stands for. It's what people have spoke to us about. They are their, you know, they are their words, not our own. And then when it comes to sort of, you know, our mantra, so promoting health does not mean we merely seek the absence of disease, but instead requires us to encourage physical, psychological, emotional, social, and economic and intellectual well-being, which was part of MNU, the nutrition course that I did, part of their mantra as well. Yeah, and I think going into this, obviously, we speak about the biopsychosocial model of health a lot and health being more than training and nutrition. I think that mantra just...
fits that quite well.
Yeah. Encompassing, is it? All encompassing? Is that the right word?
Yeah, I think it's such an important thing for us, I believe. It's such an important guiding light for us because, you know, as we've mentioned in previous podcasts, we deal with people and people come to us with these problems and they're always coming into, you know, mainly into the gym or for nutrition coaching. And they come to us because they think they need, like, it's kind of like a punishment. They need to punish themselves in order to get to where they want to go to be happy. When really, like, what we're trying to do from the outset is empower people. It's never a place of punishment. But it's such a hard mindset to break. People are always striving. Like we see, yeah, every day they come in to try and like punish themselves in the gym because they think that's the way to get fitter, or they're trying to diet and they just restrict. And yeah, like we've seen it time and time again, it just doesn't work like that long term when you have that approach.
No. You're right. You are 100% right. And said 100% already. I'm 2 minutes into the podcast, I've already said the thing I'm not allowed to say. But you're all right. I think people come in, and I believe it's just what people believe that they need to do. They believe that's what they need to do. They need to make this drastic change and, you know, totally flip their life, you know, upside down in order to become successful. You know, and when it comes to nutrition, it's never as easy as it sounds. Like we say, nutrition is simple, but simple is not easy. But the coach should understand the complexity of it, but the way that they give it to their client should be simple.
Yeah.
They should be able to just understand it and do it. And obviously, you have to work around the psychology of someone. So behavior, lifestyle always come in, you know, nice and early. And the thing that we deal with the most, even though we're not psychologists, is the psychology and the way that they view food.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. Even Kate said, see that, didn't say 100%. Even Kate said before, like when she hears us on like client calls, it's like, you guys rarely talk about nutrition. It's like your life coaching. I was like, yeah, it's a massive part of it.
Yeah, and I think people know as well that they're not eating very well, that they haven't done as well as what they can. They don't necessarily need us to bark at everything about why have you done this here? Why, you know, that there's a much bigger picture to it, you know, and there's a bigger picture to health. There's a bigger picture to nutrition at the same time. So good nutrition is about obtaining the right quantities, and the right amount of nutrients to allow a body to function the way it's intended to.
Yeah, at a base, at the very foundation of it all, that is the purpose of it. Right?
Yeah, like I look at, and a line I like to use is like, the quality of our food will dictate the way that we feel, and the quantity of our food will dictate the size of us. Do you know what I mean? It's like, you can be losing weight, but if you're eating poor quality food, you're going to feel subjectively poor. Mm. Do you know what I mean? So it's about finding that balance between nutrients. Like we harp on about flexible dieting a lot, flexible dieting being sort of pro-choice. You get to choose what you like, but people get the wrong idea that flexible dieting is eating whatever you want to, you know, make the progress, and it's just not. Like you have to eat good, nutritious food.
Yeah, and there's, you know, that is just the foundation of it. That is, there is no if, ands, or buts. We need this certain foundation to be like a healthy vessel.
Mm.
And yeah, everyone's trying to find the shortcuts around that, but it's like, it's tough sometimes when you just need to be like, look, you just need to have your veggies and you need to hydrate well. If you do that, you're going to be in a much better place than you are right now.
Hydration's mental.
Yeah.
Like, no. Yeah. I mean, very simple things. And I get some people don't like vegetables and they don't like fruits, but there's, you still need to get it. And even if you're not getting anything, then there's things like multivitamins we can look at as you work on the improvement of your... Because I don't believe under any circumstance, too, that people hate all vegetables.
Yeah.
Like, you may not have just found the vegetables that you like. Like, me personally, I don't eat fruit as a whole fruit. Like, I don't pick up an apple or another piece of fruit and eat it. I don't like the texture of it. And everyone goes, they're all different. It's like, yeah, but they're all rubbish. But I do have... But and I do wish I liked them. Like, I try a banana every now and again. I'm like, bleh.
Yeah, but it's because you try eating in one go.
Yeah, that's it. I thought that's how I've seen it on the films. That's what you taught me.
Yeah. It's efficient.
But I will have smoothies.
Yeah.
I mean, so I'm still getting all the nutrients that it needs. I'm just getting it in a different way.
Yeah. And that's probably, we're going all kinds of places now, but like, people don't like certain vegetables. And sometimes it's quite often just the way those vegetables are prepared for them. Because you may have... As a kid, you may have always had like steamed veggies or something like that, or boiled. And the way in which we cook and prepare foods can change the way it tastes. So you might just have to try a few different options. Like when I'm preparing things with Leo right now, he's super, super fussy. So, you know, I don't just, if he doesn't like a food one day, I'm just not going to eliminate that forever. I'm going to try prepare it in a different way or offer it in a different manner and give him like the illusion of choice. Like there's many different ways to skin the cat, and sometimes you just need to change the way you've been doing things, and you can create a different sort of, the palatability of the meal can change and your relationship with it changes. If you think it tastes different this way and you enjoy cooking it, like if you've been steaming it, you might chuck it in the oven and fry it or something like that.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. Like, and it's when, you know, bloody... Oven roasted veggies. There's no one in the world that can't like oven roasted veggies. Heaps of oil, loads of
a little salt.
Tell you what, man. But with kids, this is going way off topic. But with kids, with their nutrition, like it takes something like 5 to 10 times, you know, for them to try something to actually take it on board and actually like it. But if that happens as a kid, it does happen as an adult too.
Yeah.
Two prime examples: not nutritious alcohol, as in beer, and coffee. No one has ever tried beer for the first time and gone, yummy, yummy, yummy.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? No one ever. Same with coffee. The first time I tried coffee, I despised it. I thought, everyone that likes coffee is lying, because this is absolutely revolting.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So we can learn as well. So obviously health, obviously being bigger than nutrition, but we must understand too that food affects the health of the body. So food is, you know, comprised of macronutrients and micronutrients, including proteins, carbohydrates, fat, minerals, vitamins, and fiber, that not only offer calories and energy as fuel the body, but it also plays a specific role in maintaining health. And we must have all of these parts of it, the macronutrients and micronutrients, as an essential part of our intake.
Yep. Boom.
All right. Boom. He's already boomed me. So obviously before starting dieting, or even when you're mid diet, I think you have to understand why you're dieting in the first place. You know, everyone seems to
like, are you mentally prepared to take on this new task?
Which is a big conversation for new clients that come in, and they're like, because everyone wants to be in better shape. Everyone wants to be in better shape. Like I always say, you know, humans are only happy in hindsight. You know, that we'll only ever look back. No one's where they are right now going, yeah, I mean, nah, I'm good. I'm in tremendous shape. I could do with being a little bit better shape, but I'm not willing to do anything about it right now. And there might be times, but you know, we talk about perpetual states of dieting or perpetual states of food stress. Like, food is a massive stressor for people. You know, they eat when they're stressed, which causes them to stress out about what they're eating. And then this, just this huge cycle continues.
Yeah. There's some really interesting stuff around, studies around cognitive dietary restraint and the effects that can have on like, the studies I've looked at were done on sort of like middle-aged women who'd been perpetually dieting their whole life. And even though they were, their energy intake was so low because they're in such stress states, it massively affected like their energy output. Mm. So they thought they were eating minimal to lose weight, but they just weren't getting enough nutrients in to want to move, because they're being in a stress state. It massively affects your digestion as well. So you're not absorbing the nutrients as well as you could. So you're not getting the required energy that you need to be a good human.
Yeah. Well, I think everyone believes that it adapts to, oh, if I eat at 1200 calories, then I've adapted to 1200.
Yeah.
But you haven't. That's not how things work. You know, one of the main things you're going to do is decrease your energy output.
Yeah.
So everyone's like, oh no, I've just adapted to 1200. You haven't. Your body's adapting to make you survive and do what it needs to do in terms of keeping you alive. But you're not going to, you know, expend energy, which is going to cause you to stay and maintain at the same weight.
Yeah.
Which causes people to stress and then causes people to say, fuck it. And then they go backwards again. You know, we have to look at, when we're talking about perpetual states of dieting, we have to have a look at society and where we live. So, you know, you've got external pressures, you've got, yeah, the Western world, you've got ease of access. Ease of access, for example, you know, we could order
anything we wanted right now, like.
And I wouldn't even have to leave this seat. You can get put on this table in front of me, and that can happen within the next half an hour.
I mean, I think that's a massive one now. Like, you can't underestimate, like, that level of ease in getting, like whatever you want. Like, even just that, the fact that we don't need to get up, go to the car, you know, drive however far, get out at the store, walk in. Like, that's a great amount of movement. That's, well, not a great amount, but it's a decent amount of movement that's suddenly not needed anymore. And even, like, the whole thought process around that, like, sometimes, you know, back in the day before Uber Eats, like, oh, can I be really bothered to go and get food right now?
Mm.
Nah, probably not. I'll just go cook something.
Yeah.
Whereas now, it's decision can be made in like 2 seconds without even you really like thinking about it. It's like, yep, I want that. I want it now. Boom, done.
Yeah. And we live in a society where it's great because some things are easy. Premier meal companies, you know, and they can be very important. But I also know people that work in an office that order Uber Eats to get delivered so they don't have to leave their desk.
Yeah.
Maybe you should leave your desk. You know, you've got external pressures from things like, what the hell was things like social media, you know, you've got external pressures from friends, you know, again, it's this perception of what we should be. Why should we be that? You know, there's no reason to say that, we should be a certain size or a certain shape. You know, the Western world, I think I had this conversation with you. It's like, even over the years and over the decades, it's changed. So one of the sexiest women of all time, quotation marks right now, is what the human is, Marilyn Monroe.
Yep.
Right, everyone knows Marilyn Monroe for being quite a sexy lady, if I can say that. But I think she was like a size 14 or 16, do you know what I mean, at that time. But now, decades on, that's, you know, we're viewing that sometimes as the larger side of things, which is just ludicrous. You've got, say, Miss World or Miss, you know, a certain different country. You know, what Australians view, what we have this perception in our head right now of what the perfect, you know, for Kate, the perfect guy is, and the female, you know, and even, but if you take that into a different country, it's going to be a different picture of what is
desirable.
Yeah. And, you know, so I think we have to think about that too, with the pressures we have, lack of education and trust. So, you know, the market for misinformation.
Huge.
You know, we're on a podcast now talking about nutrition. Hopefully we are qualified and we've been in the decade long time and we're ethical, but not everybody is. Not everyone's willing to stay educated. So people are just putting out terrible information. You've got doctors bringing out books of bullshit, but because they're doctors, you know, we trust them.
Yeah. You get documentaries come out all the time, and because it's on Netflix and it's in a documentary, everyone assumes it just, everything must be true in it. I was like, no, people have an agenda. They're trying to push a point. But that's where it comes in. Like, people don't know better.
Mm.
And especially, like, you know, as we got down here as well, like, generationally, you don't know what you don't know. And a lot of people's initial nutritional habits or food habits are taught by their parents. If your parents don't have very good habits, how the hell are you expected to have good habits. Like when we're talking about like childhood obesity leads to adult obesity in majority of cases. It's just because that child didn't have the right education passed down to them. It's not like quite, and we're seeing that now, like as a generational thing, obesity is just continuing and continuing. And it's not really that kid's fault, nor the parents' fault, because it's just they don't have the educational knowledge. You don't know what you don't know. And people are like, give these people shit. And it's like, how could you do that? So they don't know any better.
Yeah. I had a conversation yesterday, actually. And this is a really common about that I'm unsure how to leave food on my plate. Like if you have food when you're a child, a lot of time it's like you're not leaving until they finish the food on your plate. I mean, you must finish it. You know, we don't waste food. Well, this is sort of the problem. If I'm full, I'm now being force fed, if you want, food because you can't leave it. You know, because it costs money. Because everyone you say, oh, kids in Africa will go hungry. Well, they're already going hungry. It's not going to matter if I eat this food or not.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So we don't understand when we're full because we're just eating at such a pace that's just going to get it down us. You know, a simple thing is like, put your knife and fork down 3 times during a meal. You know, think for a second. Make sure you're drinking water throughout your meal. You're not just scoffing it down you because you think someone's going to take it away.
Yeah.
I think going back to that lack of education and trust and the misinformation, there's so much, like we talk about the negative information, there is so much good information too.
Yeah.
Like there's so many people that are just so intelligent, putting out superior and amazing content. But how do you cipher between the good and the bad?
Everyone's very convincing.
Yeah, well, that's it. You've got this guy over here telling me, you know, I need to dedicate a large portion of my life to changing my behaviors and habits. And you've got another person here saying, I'll get you the shape you want to be in 6 weeks.
Yeah.
I know which one from a marketing standpoint I'm going to get to.
Yeah. Like even, you know, prime example for me is some of these, like again, vegan diets. If you're vegan for ethical reasons, fantastic, you know, no qualms with you. But you get these sort of vegan influencers who are screaming about being meat's the worst thing in the world that you can do for the environment, cut it out, don't eat meat, blah, 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 blah. But what they're not telling you is the actual worst thing we can do for the environment, if you're that concerned about it and you want to stop eating meat, is don't have kids, don't reproduce. Think about how much waste and how much a child needs in this life. Like if you want to do your part for the environment, don't reproduce. So before vegans jump on their high horse and be like, don't eat meat, well, you sign up not to have kids and I'll think about not having meat.
Yeah, I mean, there was that Game Changer documentary. Obviously, the world became... And again, I think these documentaries, they miss something. Like that Game Changer documentary about the environment, for example, could have been done, even as in a dietary way, about the health benefits of eating more plants, it could have been done in such a way that led to such a positive result long term.
Yeah.
If you just stick to the science of things. But no, they pushed their agenda to create fear, you know, and so many people that I know, so many went vegan at this point. So I ask this question right now, how many of you are still vegan? I'm going to say zero. I don't want to say 0%, but not, I'd say out of my friends, none.
Yeah.
You know, none. Yeah. And then the latest one, Seaspiracy, is it? I stopped after like 50 minutes. As soon as I knew it was from the same guy, I was like, no, we're not about to go there. You know, he's the same guy that said eggs are worse than cigarettes.
Yeah. I think one of the evidence they use for like showing that the plastics were being absorbed into like the bigger fishes and then to humans was like literally a diagram of a little fish eating some microplastics and then a bigger fish eating that little fish and then another fish eating that fish. And that was the proof that they provided.
Mm-hmm.
Like, is that all you got?
Right. So, nutrition and physical health. So, again, when you're looking at your diet, you need to have a look at your mindset. So, these are the things that we touch on nice and early. Most people have a bad relationship with food. That's why they need help with food. Most people have, food is very emotional for them. They use it when they're stressed. They use it when they're emotional, which is fine because food is all them things as well. And just guilt.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? But once you start to take this away, this guilt away, and people can start to have food freedom, then they'll start to make better decisions themselves. Like, you know, if you restrict someone something, that's all they want. So if you go on these aggressive diets where you're restricting, say, a pizza, all you're thinking about is that pizza.
Yeah.
You know, if you're parents, like back in the day, was like, hey, you need to stay away from that boy. I never want you to see that boy. And then all the films, all the everyone wants to do is just see the boy. Do you know what I mean? It's like, it's the same concept.
Yeah. The fastest way to get someone to do something is to tell them not to do it.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. So we have to remember there are no unhealthy foods. There are not even unhealthy meals. There are only unhealthy diets.
Yeah.
No, if again, if you're looking at adherence being the thing, there's no food on its own is unhealthy. How can it be? How can that one food be unhealthy?
Yeah.
Even a meal. Do you know what I mean? You might go out for a meal with your friends and you may go a little bit crazy and have whatever you want.
Yeah.
Right? But that one meal could make the rest of your week so much better and sharper because you really just enjoyed that meal. You had good connection with everything. But obviously, if I ate that one meal 20 times, you're probably going to have some problem.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? If you have a McDonald's now and again, fine. You can have whatever you want now and again. If you're having McDonald's every day, you're probably going to have some issues. Do you know what I mean? So we have to remember there's no...
But same if you had like broccoli every day as like your... No, you can have broccoli every day, but if it was the only thing you ate, like...
But yeah, you wouldn't get the the amount of macronutrients that you need.
Yeah.
You know, we need to eat as many foods as possible, even as young children. It's like, we don't want to restrict people. Give them everything. Mm. Do you know what I mean? But put everything on the same wavelength too. You know, this was something once we had kids, we looked at, it was finish that and you can have your yogurt. But why is your yogurt better than that food?
Yeah.
You know, you're already starting to create these little environments like you must finish that or you're not having any chocolate. But in the summary, you should say put everything on the plate and they'll eat until they're... And yes, they're probably going to go for the chocolate first, but over time they may not. They're not giving the power towards anything else. So no unhealthy foods that aren't even unhealthy meals, but that are unhealthy diets. So no single food can make you unhealthy. Health is a factor of long-term cumulative effects of dietary choices made over time.
Yep. And obviously lifestyle choices mm-hmm. coinciding with that.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I will have takeaways. I will drink alcohol. I will do all of this. But over the years, I've cultivated I wouldn't even call it a diet, the way that I eat. So I have protein in each meal. I make sure I have vegetables. I will have fruit. I will do the basics, right? And I will do them every single day, which allows me then some freedom to do what I need.
Yeah, it's weird that the basics like are a common theme in a lot of what we say.
So I think what we need to think about, and you touched on it then a little bit. So what you need to think about, obviously, is things like behavior, you know, your habits, yeah. Your lifestyle.
How your life is set up to support your health. Like, are you really, like everyone should strive to be healthy. And is what you're doing now really aligned with being healthy? Like, as Jem said, if you're going to Macca's every single day or having takeout every single day, is that going to align with being healthy? Maybe once or twice a week is still falls in that healthy category. But if you're having all that all the time, then you're probably missing out on some, you know, some vegetables or some other nutrients that are crucial to being healthy.
Mm. Plus, learning how to cook is a very important...
Oh, it's a massive skill that's being lost.
Yeah. So, when we're talking about now, what we're talking about now is things we need to think about before dieting.
Dieting.
You know, and habits. We've done habits podcasts. You know, go back, let's listen to them. You know, this is super important. Mm. Then you've got things like satiety. You know...
Being aware of when you're feeling full and hungry.
Yeah.
Like, people lose that.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I was dealing... like Joshy, been dealing, like working with Josh for over a year now. When we started, he's like, I never have felt full. I never feel hungry. It's like, well, let's start there.
Mm.
Like, he's very stressed. Like, he works very hard. You know, he's got twins. That would have been full on for the, well, it still would be full on. But like when we don't pay attention to where we're hungry or full, we're going to have the perception that we're not hungry or full.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, with appetite, you know, you're talking leptin, ghrelin, talking your hunger hormone. Yeah, you are right. People don't understand when they are hungry right now and they don't understand when they are full because as soon as we get this slight little bit of hunger, we go and look for food because everything is of ease of access.
Yeah. Like, and quite often those feelings of hunger are triggered by like the time of day or the environment that we're in. Like I always know like around 10:30, 11 o'clock, because over the last however many years, I always have my sort of mid-morning snack. And if it gets to like quarter to 11 or 11, I'm hungry. Mm. I'd almost say starving. I start feeling flat.
I'm going to pass out.
Yeah. But like if I wait a half hour, those feelings subside because my body's not going to waste energy on that process if there's no food coming in. And it's so important to know that, like, hunger is an emergency. It is literally just a feeling.
Yeah.
As is feeling full, you know. Yeah, you can't. You know, when people say, it's like, can't eat anymore, I'll explode. I was like, you might, but it is still just a feeling. Your body's just giving you signals.
I don't know if anyone's exploded. Yeah, I mean, I've had to undo my pants a couple of times, you know what I mean, to get things going. But yeah, and I think when people come into dieting, they don't think about hunger. You're going to be hungry if you're dieting. Yeah. As when you are dieting, you are depleting yourself. Are you willing to do that?
Yeah, that's such an important point to consider. Like, you're not, yeah, you're going to feel hungry dieting. It's part of the process.
But again, from a misinformation standpoint, and because I see people online selling this, like, you should never feel hungry. You should always feel full and energetic. And I'm going, all right, you can sell this to get them through the door, but what's going to happen when they're actually dieting? Because what you've just sold them, because people aren't going to be willing to go and have buckets full of vegetables to keep them, you know, full. This person eats takeaway every week. What are you going to do about it? Where are you going to go from there?
Yeah, yeah. Like, you know, it's just being open and transparent with people and just selling them, like, hey, if we do this properly, in about 8 or 12 weeks' time, there's a chance that you're going to feel quite flat and tired. Mm-hmm. When this happens, you need to communicate with me and we can change things up slightly.
Yeah.
Like, you make them aware of it.
Yeah. Obviously, you've got energy levels and feeling of well-being. No, you have to take their lifestyle into consideration, your lifestyle into consideration. Mm-hmm. You see it sometimes with people turning 30, for example. Everyone has 30th birthday parties. All my friends are born in these 2 months. Well, is these 2 months a pretty good time to be going on this diet when you know this is happening? You know, minimizing slumps and cravings. Like, are we having enough in the morning that's going to minimize that slump? I'm not eating. Where are your energy levels? How do you minimize them? Because if you're just feeling this afternoon slump consistently and you're just smashing it with caffeine, then you're going to end up sleeping poorly. And now your hormones are everywhere. And now you can't have no idea if you're full. You never have idea if your appetite. Do you know what I mean? So people are lost. You have to think about this time of the year when you're dieting. You have to think about your energy levels. You have to feel about where you are within yourself. Like, are you comfortable? And do you have self-acceptance of where you are right now? And then you have to think about adherence and compliance. Yep. Like, are you willing to be flexible with your food choices? Are you willing to learn to be different to something what you've already done? So adherence, obviously, when you are dieting, is
everything.
It's the only reason diets
fail.
Glad we
agreed on that.
It's the only reasons diets fail long term. Okay. And at the same time, going on another little tangent, diets aren't sustainable. Stop thinking like that. In terms of dieting, that is what you are doing. You are depleting yourself. That is dieting. Like Sean said, about 8 to 12 weeks when you're starting to feel tired or lethargic, then you need to speak and have that conversation because you've been in a deficit too long. You need to go up to your maintenance. You need to eat a little bit more food. Do you know what I mean? I forgot what I was talking about then. What was I talking about?
Adherence.
What about post-adherence? Yeah. Diet's not being sustainable.
Yeah.
So I get people want to set it up in this sustainable way where it's like, hey, this is a sustainable way into the future, but it's not. I had it this week. I spoke to you about it this morning about the woman. She lost about 6 kilos in 6 weeks. Her mindset's in a much better place. She's done tremendously well. She's like, hey, I think I'm okay to go on my own for a little bit. I was like, hey, let's jump on the phone. Do you see where you're at right now? I love the fact you're feeling motivated, you're feeling comfortable, and you're feeling confident around food, but you've lost some kilos, which is amazing. But now what? So you're going to keep living in this deficit? You may lose a few more kilos, but then what?
Yeah.
Then what do you do? And this is the thing with challenges. This is how they work, but then everyone feels amazing at the end of the challenge. But you've got no buyout. You don't know where to go. Do you know what I mean? So we need to start ramping that food back up. You need to start thinking about your metabolism slightly and your energy expenditure. You know, once we lose the weight, even when we're losing weight sometimes, how do we eat as much as possible while maintaining my weight? She's like, I'm happy at 1750, but why would you stay at 1750 when you could be in 2500?
Yeah.
Like, why would you stay there? Like, you may as well go and eat more food, right?
Yeah.
Rampage. All right, let's touch on, and this is, I really like this, the optimal diet for human health. So I think when you're looking at it, one, you have to look at a starting point. So what we're going to talk about next is just to give you an idea, because if I guarantee now, if you think for a second what the optimal diet for human health is, whatever's in your head, think about it for a second.
Carnival.
That's it. You know, you're all going to have an idea about what you believe it is, right?
Yeah.
Which we've got 4 or 5 people now. So this is just to go through some stuff. So there's the Kitavans, a tribe. So they're very high carbohydrate. Okay. So their dietary intake is 69% carbohydrate, 10% protein, and 21% fat. And they have a really high saturated fat intake from coconut. But the Kitavans have extremely low rates of heart attack, stroke, diabetes, and obesity. So where some people are thinking carbohydrates are what make us fat, these are eating 70% carbohydrate and have really low obesity and diabetes.
Yeah. And that should be like a, hopefully starts like turn on some light bulbs for people that maybe what we've been told isn't correct. Because again, if you look at that, like purely on the numbers, based on what, like in the Western world, we've been told is that's going to make us really unhealthy. And that's going to give us high rates of heart attack.
100%.
Increase our chance of stroke, diabetes, cause obesity.
There's the Amara people. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. But again, high GI carbohydrate, 80% of their energy intake from potato. Yet they have extremely low rates of diabetes despite high intake of high GI carbohydrate. You know, so they 80% of their diet from potato. Yet we are arguing if the white potato or the sweet potato is better.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's just wild. It's like, oh, you're having... And grilled, for example. How many people... Oh, I'm not going to... I'm going to make a healthier choice. I'm going to have the sweet potato. You're going to have the sweet potato fries here. And that's going to be the healthier option. You know, the same calorie intake. Do you know what I mean? I think one's higher in vitamin D, one's higher in vitamin C. We shouldn't be bothered about what potato we have. What potato do you prefer?
Yeah.
The Kuna people of Panama, super high salt intake, but yet they are free of hypertension and cardiovascular disease. You've got the Inuits, which is like where they like Mongolian, I believe. So like 75% of their energy is from fat. So they have virtually no plants in their diets and they have very little carbohydrate.
Yep.
A lot of it's from fish. But despite have remarkably restrictive composition, you know, the native diet is capable of furnishing all the essential nutrients and elements when prepared and consumed according to traditional customs. That's from Draper. That was done in 1977. But
yeah, I think this is, you know, what this should sort of start to highlight is, yes, there is no optimal diet for human health, but the human body is incredibly adaptable.
Yes.
So to think that there is one diet for everyone is just ludicrous.
Yeah. And there's probably a diet that's somewhat optimal, what we believe it, from the Western world, which we can talk about. But, you know, what you just spoke about there is a prime example. We become adaptable to where we live and what we do, and the body is amazing. So, you know, the environmental role is massively important. So there was the Pimper Indians of Arizona. So they traditionally lived off the land. But in the 19th century, irrigation waters were diverted upstream, which meant they couldn't grow their crops anymore. They've been living off crops for ages, really healthy. So after that, they became dependent on government food programs, providing white flour, sugar, partially hydrated lard, and canned food. And now they have the highest rate of diabetes, 38%, and one of the highest rates of hypertension and obesity in the world. But why do we think that is? Because most people right now listening will go, oh, it's from all the sugar and the flour.
Sugar's the devil.
You know, this is the problem, where if you think about it a bit more critically, you've got trauma. Do you know what I mean?
They've lost what they've all known.
Their way of living has now changed. They were out there making crops, you know what I mean, like farming. But now they don't even have to do that. So now their energy expenditure is a hell of a lot of food. They've been eating off crops long term, and now they've just been given sugar,
easy and access flour as well,
and fat. And then you combine them things, you've got this taste. So you've been eating up vegetables your whole life. Someone gives you a Snickers, you're going to go, Jesus Christ, this is another 50 of them, please. Do you know what I mean? You're going to be like non-stop in what you're doing. Like I said, and then you've got the environmental change there as well. So their whole life has been flipped. And it's such a sad story.
Yeah.
It's such a sad story. But we can see it from an economical standpoint too, with price of food, you know, where we live. You know, people... just again, obesity is just laziness. Like, it's not. There's so much that goes into this. It's not just laziness. You know, but obesity isn't lazy. No one wants to be overweight, but we have to take in all these different factors when it comes to it. Correlation v. causation, right? So the phrase correlation does not imply causation. So that refers to the inability to legitimately deduce and cause an effect relationship between two events or variables solely on the basis of an observed association or correlation between them. So correlation v. causation is... People bring us stuff all the time, yeah. But a lot of time it's just correlation. Gluten is bad for you. Organic is healthier. Diet drinks are more unhealthy. Vegetarians are healthier than omnivores. So, you know, the correlation would be everyone that goes through McDonald's drive-through, for example, has a Diet Coke. Therefore, but is overweight, let's say, for example. I'm not saying everybody is. Okay, don't email us. Okay, everyone going through McDonald's drive-through is overweight, but they all order a Diet Coke. Therefore, so, Diet Coke is the problem for why they're overweight.
Yep.
That's correlation.
So everyone who dies in a car crash tends to wear a seatbelt. So seatbelts must be the cause of death in car crashes.
I don't want to talk about the vaccine now, but yeah. But that is correlation. Like me and Batman have never been seen in the same room.
It's correlation. Oh my God.
Exactly. Have you ever seen Batman and me in the same room?
I have not. Kate, have you?
Have you, Kate? Do you know what I mean? So it's correlation. Causation is the fact.
Yeah. Same as like people saying organic food is healthier. People who are generally more health conscious lean towards eating more organic food. But as we'll touch on, I think, in the next couple of minutes, that's just not, there is no difference between organic and non-organic.
Yeah, no. Then the other one is, yeah, vegetarians are healthier than omnivores. But if you have a look at I would say vegetarians are more health conscious as a whole, but healthy vegetarians are not healthier than healthy omnivores.
Yeah, get that up here, Kate.
Okay. They're just obviously more health conscious. Even to become vegetarian, you're probably more health conscious straight away.
Yeah.
Maybe about food or about environment. So if we're going into, well, let's bust some of the myths, what we talked about correlation there. So for example, gluten. Gluten being bad for us.
The glutens.
The gluten. I've had too many. My stomach's killing. I've had too many glutens. If you are celiac, then yes, gluten is extremely bad for you. But if you are not, it's fine.
Gluten, just the little protein. Leave him alone.
Yeah. So,
he's all right.
You know, and a lot of people will say, I feel better when I cut out gluten. But it's like, do you feel better when you cut out gluten, or did you feel better when you give a pull the shit food that has gluten inside it?
Yeah. If you've gone from eating fucking all this bread to not eating bread because you've removed gluten, or you've got rid of your daily blueberry muffin, like, you're probably going to feel a little bit better because you're not going to hold on to as much water.
Definitely.
Or you just start noticing that you're losing a little bit of weight and you start feeling, you feel good about that.
Mm.
And you're like, it's gluten.
And I went gluten-free. I was like gluten-free for like 18 months. But by the end of it, I was finding everything that was gluten-free. That health halo. Gluten-free cookies. Good. Gluten-free everything. And now I think I went to a supermarket a few months ago. There's gluten-free rice. It's like, yeah, we know it's not, we know it's no gluten in it. Why are you telling us this? But it's the thing at the moment. You know, it's the thing that gluten is bad. It's like, I lost weight when I give up gluten. Yeah, but you give up cakes and pizzas.
Have you tried that gluten-free water? That's good for you.
Delicious. So is it the specific to gluten, or is it the junk food? You know what I mean? Sweeteners worse than sugar. Like, if I hear this again, I'm going to throw my head through a wall. It's just not the case.
No.
You know, and there's research constantly. And the thing is, like, oh, when you have sweeteners, it causes us to release insulin into the body. It's like, no, it does not.
Eating releases insulin into your body, no matter what you do.
I think it's like, what's the research done? You'd have to have like 50 cans of Coke or something to have any effect on the sweetener. And this is not to say that sweeteners are amazing, right? There's just not, it's not an over-researched
thing. It's not going to make you fat.
But it's definitely not going to make you fat. So there was no consistent evidence that intense sweeteners causes insulin release or lowers blood sugar in normal subjects. Okay. Organic is more nutritious. It's like, there's nothing to prove this. There's no evidence there. Okay, so Smith and Spangler, 2012, so no significant difference in biomarkers of nutrients in levels of serum, urine, breast milk, and semen in adults. And then last but not least, obviously,
I'll just get back to that one. So that's an important one, because you get, you know, for however many years, people have been told that organic food is always the healthier choice, but it also happens to be way more expensive. Mm. And you get people feeling bad they're not providing the best food for, you know, their family if they're trying to, you know, go along that path. Don't stress about it because it's not the case.
Yeah. And you see it with, I suppose, even like vegetables, frozen vegetables, fresh vegetables. Yeah, like no nutritious difference. If anything, the frozen ones may be better because they're frozen straight away. So again, it's this, everyone's just trying to make things a lot harder for the, you than what they need to be.
Yeah.
The last myth we'll go through is like protein is bad for your kidneys. It's like, it's not. Like I didn't even know this was a thing unless you have problems, like I said, with your kidneys. But I didn't even know this was a myth until I started coaching nutrition properly.
Yeah.
People staying away from kidney protein because their doctors, for example, may have told them that protein is bad. But, you know, there's no clear renal-related contradictions to high-protein diets in individuals with healthy kidney function. That was Friedman 2004. So I think the research has been done up into 5 grams per kilo of body weight has no effect on renal function.
Yep.
5 grams per kilo. No one's doing that. Not even the best bodybuilders in the world are getting close to that.
What's that like? That's nearly 500 grams of protein for me. That is so much.
You're not getting through that in a day.
No, it wouldn't be possible.
So that's without any other foods. So that's what? Did you say 500 grams of protein? So times 4.
I'm making myself a little bit bigger.
trying to get jacked. Let's spread it out. Yeah, so I think when you're looking at dieting, again, ask yourself if it's something that you actually want to do. Let's think a little bit differently when it comes to creating your diet in the way that you do things. And just remember that long-term consistency trumps short-term intensity when it comes to your health and wellness. Health is bigger than training and nutrition.
Yeah, and it always comes down to these sort of simple facts. Like, should you decide that you're in a good place to diet, you're in a good mindset, adherence is always going to be king. Demonizing food groups is never going to help you. Having an environment set up for your overall success is crucial to that. And then, as we mentioned a couple of weeks ago, sleep is king. Sleep makes everything easier. And it's always, like, at the very heart of it, is your choice what you do. Like, there is never a good time. Well, there is a good time to diet, but there's a bad time too. So, if you're in a bad time, it's okay to stop your diet if you're on one and come back to it again. It's not a failure.
No.
You've just learned, like, oh, shit, like, maybe it's not the best time to diet during the holiday season. I'll come back in a month or two and try again.
Yeah, you can't fail this. Something I like to say is, like, you can't fail food.
No.
Like, don't let it give you that. And then, you know, you have to look at the somewhat individualization at what works for you. What method is going to work for you that's going to allow you to adhere to your dietary protocol?
Yeah.
Be that in your diet and be that in your... for the rest of your life. So individualization, you know, is important, and trial and error is important, and whatever works for you, works for you. Obviously, there's scientific principles we must stand for, so we're not going against this. But remember, like, this is your health. This is your body. You are in control about what you do, and it's your mind. You are in full control about what you do.
Hmm.
Lastly, to finish, because it sounds like we've just been bagging off nutrition. We have a nutrition business, right? Which 90% of them are weight loss clients, right? But we've just spoke about, is it time to diet? But I think from an ethical standpoint, you know, I stand proud going to some people, no, this is not a good time for you to diet. I don't believe that you're in the right head place to diet. And sometimes I'll end up taking people on that I don't think are in the right head place, because at least I know that they're going to be with me and not with someone else.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, yeah, your mindset affects your health and your nutrition. Like, just be ready to make change. Just be ready to come in with an open mind. Yeah, and
by no means are we saying, like dieting is easy and everything needs to be perfect. It is going to be hard. It's going to be challenging. But, yeah, I think accepting that in your head and being ready for that, ready for the challenge, is crucial to your success down the track. Like, if your headspace isn't right, if you're overly, like, if you're stressed to the walls, and again, middle of the holiday season or something like that, for example, you need to rethink whether it's a good time to start or not.
But if it is a good start, just contact Rebuild Health Fitness, because we are.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot. I was meant to do this at the start, so hopefully she's still listening. a couple of weeks ago, we asked for a couple of people to shoot us a message if they made it towards the end of the podcast.
We didn't ask for a couple. We asked for people, but only a couple did.
Yeah. So big shout out from to Sophie. I hope that's how you say it, from Denmark. She thoroughly enjoys our podcast.
Well, that's wonderful to know. And if anyone else is thoroughly enjoying it, you can write us a review on Google or Spotify. Like I said, it does go a long way and takes 2 minutes of your time. If you believe that this is something that someone needs to hear, maybe you have a friend that is in this state of dieting the whole time, send this podcast to them. Hopefully they can think a little bit differently, you know, about what they're doing. And a lot of the time when people come in to start a diet, I will tell them to stop the diet.
Yeah.
Like, stop, just go in, breathe and relax and do your thing.
Yep.
That's it. So you can follow Sean at
Coach Sean _Rebuild.
Myself at Coach James _Rebuild, or the gym at Rebuild Health and Fitness Podcast. But again, thanks for listening.